it's very difficult to get away from the first missionary journey of Paul. It's probably the first time, third time I'm preaching about the same chapters. But there is so much there. And it's so amazing what Jesus did. I want to go a little bit back. What Jesus said in Luke 24. And he said to them, thus it is written. So by this time, Jesus has died and he's been resurrected by God through the Holy Spirit. And he spoke to his disciples. He said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So two things in that verse. He said it's going to start from Jerusalem. And another thing is, those two things are gifts, repentance and forgiveness. So we see forgiveness as a gift, but repentance is also a gift. Even though we are the ones that are repenting, the Holy Spirit is actively involved in causing us to repent, because he is the one that convinces us of sin, of righteousness, of justice. So what is important here is that they started at Jerusalem. Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So we've heard this a lot of times. But you see Jesus saying to them, talking about repentance, talking about forgiveness, saying where they're going to start from in Jerusalem, saying what they're going to do. They're going to be a witness. They're going to have this good message that they're going to preach. And he said, you're not going to be alone. I'm sending you help. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. So I drew us a map. Well, I didn't draw it. Google drew it. But just to give us some context. So Jesus said to them, wait in Jerusalem. I will send the Holy Spirit on you. See Jerusalem right here at the bottom, West Bank. We know Acts 10 that Stephen was martyred and the persecution hit the church. And they went up Samaria, all the way up. If you can look up, there's a place called Antakya. And if you can see it to the northern side, you go all the way past Lebanon, Tripoli, and then you get a place, Antakya. That's Antioch in Syria. So that's where the first Gentile churches was planted. Remember we talked about Antioch, 500,000 people, 25,000 Jews in the Jewish quarter, and Jesus rolled up his sleeves, that was my illustration, and said, no, there's the rest of the city. There's 475,000 people that's not hearing the gospel. And Jesus had this plan of sending evangelists from Cyprus, and it's not on the map here, but Northern Africa, it was Libya, I think he called it Cilicia. From there, evangelists went to Antioch, and they started preaching, and then Jerusalem heard about it. They sent Barnabas to encourage the church there. Barnabas saw the church growing, he went and he fetched Paul, and suddenly there was well-established church or churches on churches in Antioch. Now what's happened with the first missionary journey is that Paul and Barnabas is sent by the Holy Spirit. So once again, Jesus is still building his church. And he said in Luke 24, it will go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So see Jesus actively involved. Holy Spirit says, separate Paul and Barnabas and let them go on the journey. They went to Cyprus. You can't see it, but Salome is here on the eastern side. Paphos is on the western side. You can see Paphos is there. Salome, the name has changed. There was a major encounter with a magician there. There's a guy that the Bible mentions, Sergius Paulus. He was in charge of Cyprus. He was the governor there. The magician was very much up in the occult, connected to the spiritual authority in the air. And there was a major confrontation between the Holy Spirit and this magician, that Paul had to say to him, "You will be blind." And when this governor saw that, he said, "I see what has happened." And he came to repentance. He didn't just hear the gospel, he saw it. And he came to repentance. This governor was well connected with the Romans. And he basically opened the road for Paul to go to Antalya. You see there, Antalya on the left-hand side? Paphos, the Bible calls it. So Paul started going. There was a Roman road that was going from there all the way up to Konya. Konya is Iconium. There was a Roman road that was going, that was built there. Those are all the province of Galatia. They're from that, the book Galatians. Okay? And that's why I'm getting stuck with this portion, because parallel to this chapters is the book of Galatians. And we have to understand what was happening there. It's not just about the geographic journey. It's what was the message. And I call the sermon the message of the cross. So it ties in with the communion that we had just now as well. So, yeah, now they're in Antalya. Slowly they're making their way to the first city, which is also called Antioch. But now it's Antioch in nowadays Turkey, not Antioch in Syria. So we shouldn't get confused between the two. And we said that Paul had a strategy that you will first go to the synagogues. So you will miss, you will go to the towns, the smaller towns like Antalya, but you will end up in the first city where there's a synagogue. You will preach to the Jewish converts that is already there, but most important, you will preach to the seekers. We call them seekers because these guys didn't want to embrace the Jewish faith. They wanted to serve the monotheistic God of the Jews, but they didn't want to embrace the laws and the circumcision and all those things. So Paul's message was actually to them, and those are the guys that came to repentance. So that's just a little bit of a going back a little bit and catching up. So Acts 14 verse 7. Let's just see, where are they here? And there they continue to preach the gospel. So this is now in Iconium. So that's up there that we said, Antalya. There they continue to preach the gospel. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. We bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. So now we don't just have the Jewish crowd, we have idolatrous as well. So the closer they get to Ephesus, that is what's going to happen in the second missionary journey, the closer they are getting to these idolic centers, the temple of Diana, and they were worshipping Jupiter and Hermes. Hermes was the messenger of Zeus. It's idolatry. They were worshipping these gods. These gods were connected with demons. So these guys were afraid. If they go to the religion of Paul and Barnabas, what is those demons going to do to them? Dead gods, but behind those idols are demons. And they were seeing the miracles and saying, but this must be from the top. This must be from Zeus and Hermes, the top gods. So now they call them Zeus, they call them Jupiter, and they call them Mercurius. And they want to worship Paul and Barnabas. And that's why they were doing what they're doing and saying, no. We're talking about a living God here. That is what that scripture is about, verse 50. You cannot serve dead gods. This is a living God. This is the one that has created you. This is the one we preach. Turn from your vain ways of serving idols. Turn to the living God that has created you. So this is their struggle in Iconium. Exodus 20, we all know these verses. This is how God feels about idols in our life. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. And he goes on. God is jealous about us. He's jealous about our worship. He doesn't want us to worship. You can think, I had this conversation with somebody this week, with Dolly actually. You can think that if you're a Christian, you're the only one that worship. But every single person on this earth worships. We are made to worship. It's just that the object of our worship differs. And God alone wants to worship. He's created us so that we can worship. And every single person, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, the Muslim, the agnostic, they've got that capability in them to worship. And they want to worship. And that is why we have the message of the cross. So to get people, that's the only place people are going to be happy, is when they worship God. Romans 1:25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And if you read Romans 1, you see what happens when we start worshiping, especially the creature, even ourselves. God gives us over to our own devices, and it's not a good thing for us. So I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to your worlds. So realize that as I'm preaching to you, the message is not stopping with you. It's going through to your different worlds, because it's the message of the cross. So Acts 26, and I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So this was the mission of Paul. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. And verse 18 is the most important. To open their eyes, Jesus speaking to Paul, this is your mission. Open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So this is the mission. As he moves from Jerusalem, he'll move all the way to Rome, which was the center of that empire of that time. God will take him. That's the ends of the earth then, because he goes to the center, the heart of the empire. And this is the message that he was taking to everybody. To Timothy, he says, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct. Paul is speaking to Timothy. My aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch. That's the first synagogue that we spoke about. At Iconium, that's the one at the top that we mentioned. And at Lystra, and there was Derbe as well. Which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. So just two things. If we take the gospel to our worlds, there will be persecution. And I see with the young people, they struggle with this. Why are they persecuted? Why is there opposition that comes to them when they preach the gospel? Isn't everything supposed to be peaceful and joyful and people come to the Lord? There's a darkness. There's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And Jesus' kingdom will encroach on Satan's kingdom all the time. And there will come opposition from the enemy when we start preaching the gospel to our worlds. Acts 14. So we've done all the scripture. I'm just recapping them. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. This is now a Derby. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Something very interesting on what I just said before. This one city, Derbe, there was no persecution. So there's not always persecution. It depends what is happening above us. What prayer has gone into that city or town that we are in. But this specific city, Derbe, there was no persecution. So here you have Paul starting, as we saw with that map, from the coast on this Roman road, going from synagogue to synagogue and even the smaller towns. He's preaching, the Jews doesn't like what he's saying, because he's basically saying to the people, you don't need to be justified by Moses, by the laws of Moses. And this makes the Jews furious, and they want to kill the people. That's exactly why Paul was persecuting the church and killing Christians, for that same reason, because the idol is their temple and their law. And Paul is now saying to them, you only need faith in Jesus. You don't need faith in the law. You only need faith in Jesus. So when they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. So if you look on that map, Paul could have just carried on to Tarsus, going back the route all the way to Antioch in Syria. That would have been the comfortable route. He was stoned to death in Lystra. They stoned him to death. The Bible says, doesn't make it specific that he was dead. Didn't declare. Remember Luke's writing. And for some reason, Luke, a doctor, wasn't declaring him dead. And Luke is basically saying that he looked dead, or they assumed he was dead. But thinking about these Jewish mobs stoning a person on a continual basis, they pulled Paul, after they stoned him, they pulled him out of the city to go and lie outside. The disciples stood around him, prayed for him, and yes, then Paul stands up, and the next day he moves to the next city, that was Lystra. Derby is like 60 kilometers in the distance. Paul stands up and he walks with him to the next city. So God did something, but for some reason Luke doesn't delve into that. I think he's focusing more on other things than just miracles all the time. Also remember, when you read a book like Acts, you see all the miracles. Then we think, why isn't those miracles happening in our life? Luke isn't writing about when there's not miracles. Even in the Gospels, sometimes Jesus, when he prayed for people, they didn't get healed. So let's not just focus on, we pray and there must be a result. There must be a miracle. There's times when it doesn't happen. Paul takes the uncomfortable route, not going to Tarsus. Further on, he goes back to where he was persecuted and even stoned to death, strengthening the soul of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And that is very important. Through many tribulations. So now he goes to these churches, young churches, he's encouraging them and say, we know you are persecuted by your Jewish brothers and by the synagogue, but keep on, don't give up. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And that is the message of the cross. And that is why we endure. So he was appointing elders in the different churches. Because he wanted this church to be self-propagating. He doesn't want to look after them all the time. He's going back to Syria, in Antioch in Syria. And he wants these churches to carry on by themselves. Focusing on the message of the cross. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So remember, Satan will try and blind the eyes of those we are speaking to. He doesn't want them to understand the gospel. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So if you speak the gospel or truth to somebody, say in your workplace, and you see this blank stare in their eyes, what do? You don't just press on. You take control. Not control, but you take authority. You say, Lord, I bind the spirit. According to 2 Corinthians 4, I bind the spirit that's blinding this person's eyes now in Jesus' name, that they will understand the gospel, that the gospel will become truth in their lives and change their lives. So you take authority. Just a practical example. Acts 13, let it be known to you therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. This was the gospel, this was the message Paul was preaching, and he was stoned because of this message. People from Iconium, they chased him out of the city, they went to the next city, Lystra, they caught up with him 60 kilometers or 100 kilometers further, and they started influencing the Jews in that city, and that's when they stoned him in Lystra, because of this message. What does this message say? God has forgiven you. What does it mean? For the Jew, forgiveness meant from 1 year Passover to the next year Passover, my sins are covered. Not done away with, covered, because it was an innocent lamb that was slaughtered, so my sin is covered for a year. What did Jesus do? On Passover, the same time, he became the innocent lamb. And forever and ever, the perfect lamb, the perfect high priest, never again there has to be a sacrifice. This is the message that got them so worked up, that Paul was preaching. You don't need the laws. You don't need circumcision. You don't need sacrifices. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He's the ultimate high priest. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. And he also told him that they are justified. I think we'll see it in Galatians. That they are justified, meaning you stand before God as if you have never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus has done for you. Now we get to Galatians 1 verse 6 to 7. I'm astonished. So what happened here is that Paul is back in Syria, Antioch, here on the eastern side. He's back from his journey. He reported to the church, tells them of this fantastic door that Jesus has opened there in the Roman province. And churches are established, churches are growing, and the gospel is being preached, not just by him now, by the disciples being made in these churches. So he reported this to the church. Jerusalem hears about it. Jews go from Jerusalem to these churches, and what do they say to these new converts? It's good that you have accepted Jesus, but you need to be circumcised, and you need to obey the laws. And eventually, this message reaches Paul, and he's not a happy man. He is furious. That's why he's writing this letter to the Galatian churches. That's Iconium, it's Lystra, it's Derbe, it's Antioch in nowadays Turkey. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. What is that different gospel? It's works. We still have it. It's works. It's Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I must do this, that, and the other. No, it's only faith in Christ. That's how we live. Only by faith in Christ, not works. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Talking about those Jews that went from Jerusalem. Galatians 2. And yes, another episode. So we touched a little bit on Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. The whole discussion was about this. And the fighter was Peter. Peter saw that vision with the animals coming down, remember? And Peter was living a kosher life, eating kosher food. And Jesus said, eat this food. He said, no, Jesus, I can't do that. He says, that which I say is holy, is holy. That which I say is pure, eat it. Meaning all the nations that I'm sending this gospel to is approved by me. So now Peter, after that Jerusalem council, he comes to Antioch in Syria. And he eats with the Gentiles, no problem. Because he was with Cornelius. Jesus sent him to the house of Cornelius, Italian family. And they all came to the Lord. Now, in Syria, he's eating with all these families, Gentile families. But now these Jews come from Jerusalem. What does Peter do? Now he acts differently. And Paul speaks to him here. But when Cephas, that's Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James was at that time a new apostle. He wasn't part of the original apostles. He was elder, and by this time he was apostle to the church in Jerusalem. So before certain men came from James, James was Jesus' brother. He was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. So the circumcision party is these Jews arriving from Jerusalem. And Paul is, in a way, saying, that's the circumcision party. They just want to cut every man that came to Jesus. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy. So this gets Paul very worked up. And in a way, we must also understand Peter's side of the story. Jesus hasn't called Peter to the Gentiles. He's called Peter to the Jews. So his allegiance is more with the Jews than with the Gentiles. Paul, it's very different. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, he said to that prophet that they had to come and pray for him for his eyes to be healed. This is my chosen instrument to the nations. So Paul is passionate, and we must see that in this. Peter is passionate about the Jews. Paul is passionate about the Gentiles. But we must also see, this is real, this is church. There can be differences in the church, and it can be passionate differences. But in Christ, we can still be united, and still everyone does his prophetic calling that God has given to him. And here he carries on, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So there we come full circle back to the topic of the sermon, which is the message of the cross. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul is saying, I preached to you this message. You understood it. You believed it. You came to him. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? You all understand that, the difference. The one is based on works, and works are normally connected with performance or the approval of man. That's why works can be a dangerous thing. In this case, it is the works of the law. Or by hearing with faith. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh, that you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? I don't want to say much more than that, because that is our journey. Our journey is simple. Yield to Christ every day. Not, Lord, what must I do today? But rather, Lord, in what space do you want me to be? You want me to sit at your feet today? You want me to work hard today? But be in that space with Christ. It's not about doing. What do you call it, Peter? Striving. It's not about striving. Striving comes out of the flesh. Striving is for performance. Striving is to please man. But if we want to please God, it's a state of being. Acts 17 verse 28, I haven't put it up here. He talks about Jesus. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. And I'm talking about that last part. Have our being. Just resting, working, being in him all the time. And there is more, but I don't want to carry on, because I think we're getting the point here. Acts 15 is just the Jerusalem Council. We have done that before. So, I think the important thing to take away here is to find in God that rest that we need to not go over into the flesh. We've spoken over two Sundays over the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And I think we all know that. Our mind is connected to our flesh. The things we think about causes us to live in the flesh. And at the same time, the things we think about causes us to live in the Spirit. God's calling us to live in the Spirit. That's how we maximally impact our family, our friends, our jobs, students, wherever we are. I encourage you to keep on doing that. And let's pray. Father, what a privilege to study your word. What a privilege to do it together, Lord. To hear you speaking even after 2,000 years, but even long before that, before this earth was formed, to hear you speaking, to hear your heart, to hear your passion, Lord, even through people like Paul and Peter that you called. Even today, you're calling every one of us. Your hand is on us. Lord, I pray for us this morning that your hand will go with us, that you will stretch forth your hand. And as we live your gospel, Father, that you will confirm your word through signs and wonders there where we go. We won't just wait for Sunday, but that signs and wonders will follow your word, whether it's the tennis academy or is it the hospital or the military or wherever we go, the university, that we will touch these worlds because of what you've done and what you are still doing. Thank you, Jesus, that you started this. You called us. You said you will finish it. So we yield to you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.